read already this paragraph, and I will read now. We are reading from the Seven Church Ages, chapter 3, from Brother Livail. All right. Now, what was the spiritual climate of that church? It had left its first love. Leaving its first love of the Word of God was revealed to us as having fallen from its origin, which was Pentecost. In plain English, that means this church was in danger of being taken away from the leading of the Holy Spirit, the control of the Spirit. This was exactly what took place after Moses led Israel out of Egypt. The way of God was to lead them by the cloud of fire, prophetic utterance, miracles, signs, and God-given wonders. This was to be accomplished by God-selected, God-ordained, God-equipped, God-sent men, with the whole camp being dominated by a Holy Ghost move. They rebelled and wanted a set of rules and creeds to go by. Then they wanted a king. Then they wanted to be exactly like the world, and went into complete apostasy and oblivion. That is exactly how the first church age started, and it will get worse and worse until the Holy Spirit is completely rejected and God must destroy his people. That's how the church, Laodicean church, the last church age, as Brother Brenner said, in Laodicean age, there was just more light. If we have to compare it to other ages, church ages, but God in his grace and mercy, he said that at evening time it shall be light. And that's how the message came. Malachi 4, 5, 6, Elijah came. And he brought back the light in the candlestick. However, the condition of the church will stay till the end like this, till when the Lord will come and destroy all things. I'd like to read some passages of the scriptures, because in reality Israel always has in his heart to be led by someone, this Nicolaitan spirit. But it should be that each one of us has to have a personal relationship with God. But instead of that, they had in their heart to be led by someone. Or to be led by someone. For this reason, when God called Moses in the mountain to give him commandment, Aaron was obliged to make the golden calves for Israel. This evening we are not going to read a lot, because we do not want to stay till late. We read in the book of Hosea. Here is speaking about the sin of Israel. He speaks about Ephraim. As we said on Sunday, Ephraim, he fell into idolatry. In the book of Genesis, God called him as his firstborn. But we all know what took place with Joseph, with his kid, when Jacob was blessing them, he exchanged the end of the kids and he blessed the smaller one with the blessing of the elder. We read in Hosea 11 verse. Hosea 13 verse 10. I be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy city? And thy judges, of whom thy said, give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in mine hunger and took him away in my wrath. And we know who is our king today, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And our king today is the Holy Spirit that is upon the church, upon the body of Jesus Christ. He's the one who's commanding, is the one who's leading all things. When Moses was there is a passage of the scripture that we read later. Moses himself was a king. God said Moses is a king in the midst of Israel when they went out of Egypt. He was as a king, but they did not understand it. Even brother Branham was a king, but he was not understood. The church always continue in its way of seeing things, in the old way, or Catholic way, or Nicolaitan's way. In the church always continue in this way to see things. As I wrote a note here in Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy chapter 14, we read just passages to represent this spirit that is in the church is not the spirit that is in the bride of Jesus Christ, because the bride of Jesus Christ is completely different. It's clear in the church, in the bride, there is not that spirit. In Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 17 verse 14, when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. So you see how it is. God always has to establish someone. It's God who will establish and lead and instruct in order to accomplish his plan. The last part of verse 15. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. You see, many churches, they were founded upon false basis, and it was not the will of God, neither the leadership of God. For this reason, there is this confusion. The confusion that we see today, and we can read also in First Samuel 8 verse 5. Because in their way of wanting a king or a chief, someone above them, this spirit is still here. Is still in the church. Even though the circular letters, I'm saying that with a bitterness in my heart. Even though they are circular letter written, but what the church has done with this letter, maybe they read it at that time and they keep it just for a little time, then they start falling in the same trap, in the same spirit, in the same Nicolaitan spirit as it was in the beginning. As, for example, when Luther was there, everything was fine. Also with Brother Branham, when he was there, everything was fine. But once the brother was brought back home, then things change. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 5, you see here, people are saying, it's like today. If we say, Brother Frank, you become old. You are old now. We need another king. I don't understand if you are getting the thought. Here is Samuel. Samuel became a hold. In verse 5, and said unto him, Behold, thou art hold, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. You see, here Samuel was a king for them because he was judging them. But they did not wait for someone to come. As God has said, if someone is to come, I'm the one to give it to give him to you. It's God who established. It was God who was creating situation, and then in that situation he will put someone who he wants or someone he likes. They say, give us a king to judge us. Before, there was Saul. That was a choice of a man. Then the choice of God came, and he chose David. And he was a man according to the heart of God. We see all these things, all these passages of the scripture that are taking form during the work of the church. And also, we see also the Nicolaitan spirit that is forming. Still in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 12. 1 Samuel 12. From verse 12. And when ye saw that Nahash, the king of children of Ammon, came against thee, against you, ye said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. You see, the Lord your God was your king. Do you see how the heart of a man, sometimes he let himself go? He did not realize what God want to give him for his good. For him to remain under the anointment of the Spirit, under the anointment of the word, under the plan of God that he established before the foundation of the world. He established a plan before the foundation of the world. He established already a way. He made a way. But a man always wanted to do his, in his own way. We can read also in 1 Chronicle, in 1 Chronicle chapter 12, 1 Chronicle chapter 12, 38. And here we see, as the men of war, you know that Samuel, after Saul, he went to anoint David. And David brothers, they presented themselves, but God has told to Samuel, you see the outside appearance, but me, I see the heart. And God knows the heart. He knows the thoughts of the heart, and he knows how to do things. But we sometimes, with our intelligence, we see this man knows how to speak, he knows how to do. It always been like this since Genesis till the time that God established for the bride to be raptured. We read here in verse 38, and this man of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. You see? And then in chapter 13, we see that David is speaking to all the congregation of Israel. We can see the way of his way of speaking with all the people of God to bring them together. All these things, they are showing us as the message came to prepare us and to bring us back to the first love and to have all the things that pertain to the first love. The Lord restore all things, as is written in Zechariah 14. At evening time, light shall be. That is the plan. That is how God built the thing. The only person in Christ, those who are in the between the gap, under the only chief or the only head who is the is Christ, because the bride church recognized not to have a earthly leader on this earth, but it works only with God, and each one of us has to have this fellowship. Either a woman, either a man, a sister or brother, all they have to work together with the same heart, but working also individually with God. We continue to read. See how it started out in the early church. It was called deeds. Then it became a doctrine. It became the standard. It became the unbending way. After a doctrine, it became a standard, and it finally took over the God of over, and God was pushed aside. So it finally took over, and God was pushed aside. Oh, it started so small, so quietly, so inoffensively. There is no, when there are rules, there is no rules, or there is no love of God or grace of God anymore, but there is a rule. It looked good, it looked so good, it seemed so sound, then it caught a hold, and like a python, it squeezed it out. Let us read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 2. There are things in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 2. Wise, the wisdom of a man is foolishness before God. And all the things here are what the traps that the devil prepared for those who belong in the bride of church, in the bride of Christ, to fall. So it's making trap for them. And here I say, then it caught a hold, and like a python, it squeezed out the very breath and kill all the spirituality there was in the church. Oh, that false vine is subtle. It's like an angel of light until it gets a hold on you. In the beginning, it looked so good. Then it seduced all. It is something that can take place, and it's going to take place. And this difference today, we can see it. Today, As we're walking with God, we can see this difference. May God grant us grace. We can read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11 from verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's not a great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the minister of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Therefore, it is no great thing if his minister also be transformed as the minister of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You see, he's in movement. This thing is working, or is walking, and is there. And may God grant us grace with the Holy Spirit to discern these things and to see when, and when we see that we are going astray in that direction, we cling again, or we stick to Christ again for Him to help us and for Him to be our strength and our help. Let's continue. Now, I want to say that I believe in leadership, but I believe in the leadership of the Holy Ghost coming through the Word. I believe. Since the beginning, may God grant us grace. That was the beginning of revival, and it did not change. Along the way, a lot of people were changed, but we have to be careful. I believe not to be led by men, but by the Holy Ghost through the Word. I believe also, now we keep reading, that God has set men in the church, men who are gifted by the Spirit, and they will keep the church in order. But here is about leading or keeping the church by the Word. They said in Krefeld is Brother Frank who command. In Krefeld is not Brother Frank who command. It's the Word that command. The Word that God gave. And this Word, that Word, because the authority comes from the Word, is not a man who's leading, or he has to say, I'm the chief, but is a man through the Word that is leading. I continue to read. But that rules is by the Word, so that is not men really ruling by the Spirit, but the Spirit of God. How many times it been said? Also, Brother Branham explained it. The word kill. Today, a lot of people have the Holy Spirit, but the Word is missing. The Word is missing to them. Something is wrong. Many have the letters, but they do not have the Spirit. They know well the message. You see, God has to grant grace for us to understand. If not, there be something wrong, and both of them, they have to work together. The Word, the authority of the Word, anointed with the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and that provoke the obedience to the Word of God. That's what Jesus was doing. Also, the apostle, even Paul, the apostle of the nation. after the 12 apostles, Paul came, and Brother Branham, when he was speaking about the 13th apostle, because after the 12th, there was another apostle who came, and he was the apostle of the nations. If there's not the spirit to help you to realize it, you will say there's a 13th apostle. Glory to God. But that is out of the word of God. There's nothing to do with the true leadership. For this reason, this word must go in this way. I read it again. Then we read the other passages of the scriptures. I have to say, we have to be led. And here is not about being led. Is Christ to lead your life? He has to come in your heart, and he has to manifest the power of the obedience of the word of God. If it's not Christ leading you or ruling you, there always is going to be always the influence of someone else. And may God grant us grace to be influenced by the word of God. Is this the only influence that we need? The word anointed by the Holy Spirit. Then after that, we will obey, because he's behind his word. He's keeping himself behind the word. Is reading again here. I believe also that God has sent men in the church, men who are gifted by the Spirit, and they will keep the church in order. It's true. We can take an example now. We can take an example. When Brother Branham was still in Jeffersonville Church, there was still order there. There was the right taking of position. The church was in order. When the Holy Spirit came in our heart and lead or rule the word, God will be in our midst. Two or three gather in my name is in our midst. We are not gather here in the name of someone. We are not gather in the name of a church, a special church, but we are gather in the name of Jesus Christ. He's the chief. He's the one who's leading, ruling all things. And I believe also that the church is ruled over by men that God sent to take charge. But that rules is by the word. So that it is not men really ruling, but the Spirit of God. And now Brother Franco is commenting. So a zeal must be in us for us to remain under the control of the word. If not, it's going to finish. So the Spirit of God must lead, not men, because the word and the Spirit is one. As is written in Hebrew, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Because the word and the spirit are one. So as is written in Hebrew 13 verse 7. Hebrew 13. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourself, for they watch for your soul. And they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You see, then it said, pray for us. This harmony must be in the church, and it must be so. In Deuteronomy in Deuteronomy 33 verse 5. Then here we go in the right, in Deuteronomy 33. From verse 3. Yet he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded as a law, even in the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun. If you search for the meaning of Jeshurun, is Israel, people of Israel. So it's like to say the Jeshurun is the way of saying people of Israel in the poetic way. So, and he was king in Jeshurun when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Moses was a king. This prophet that God sent, this anointed prophet, sent by God to deliver his people from Egypt and bring them in the promised land. So don't you think that Brother Branham was the same thing? Malachi 4, 5, 6, the Elijah who came to restore and to bring the heart of the children to their father. Wasn't he a king? It's the same thing. You see the type, the way they are connected, the way all things are getting together. And this thing makes us happy. We can say, thank you, Lord, for the grace that you gave us to understand and to realize these things and to walk through it, through them. Because you are the chief of the church, of each member of the body of Christ, and you are leading us in all the truth, exactly as is written in John 13, 17. You will receive the Holy Spirit and he will lead you in all the truth. And today is about it. It's about that. The anointment in the message, this anointment that is in the message is leading us in all the truth, and we realize who we are and what God has done of us and which promise he made in us or he gave us. We continue. But see what was happening back there. That false vine was getting a hold, and it was teaching that rulership by man was right. It taught that the church had to be governed. It taught a control over the people. Instead of doing it in God's way, they simply took authority and vested all the spiritual power in their own hands and came out with a holy priesthood standing between God and the people. They went right back to the whole Aaronic system. What's the meaning of Aaronic system? You can read in Exodus 32 when Moses came down with the table of the law of God, the law that God wrote with his own finger. And when he saw the golden calves that Aaron was obliged to make. And here people are going back in that old system. And we continue reading. They become antichrist, for they dispose of his mediatorship and impose their own. God hated that. Don't you think that the spirit in the denomination, the system, don't you think that God hate that system? The clerical system, the Nicolaitans system, And in midst of that, there is politics, there is European Parliament, and we can go. God hates that. It's useless for us to be there. As we read, they can be. They can transform themselves in an angel of light. It's a trap. But because we are not, so when you are under the a man, you are not led anymore by the Holy Spirit, but you are under a man and you become Antichrist. In chapter 2 of Revelation, when he was talking about the church, Ephesians ate that, and any true believer will eat it too. A born again Christian and baptized with the Holy Spirit must eat it. Must eat this spirit. If not, that means it doesn't have the Spirit of God. And I can say it boldly, and this is a task, say the word of God. Something must be in his heart, and he has to reject it. He has to say, what are you doing here? Let the Lord do. I don't know if you are following my thoughts. And he will say, let's stop here. Let's go back in the position where under the Spirit of God, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And I wrote down here, system, I wrote a note in Revelation 13, verse, talking about the mark of beast, Revelation 13. On Sunday, we touched this point, or this subject, Revelation 13. Revelation 13 from verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And we read it, and we know it. We read the brochure about Revelation of Jesus Christ. We know these things. We enter in this clerical system or clergy system. This Antichrist system is what God hated. And is among us today. We cannot say in another way. We are walking together. We are walking aside in the same walk, in the same step. For this reason, it's written, if it was possible, even the elect, the chosen one, will be seduced. But for this reason, God did not permit it. When there are men who pass beyond the good sower, he saw the bed herbs. The disciple asked him, "Master, you want us to pluck them up?" But he said, "No, let them grow together." Then at the end, and now we are entered plainly at the end time. And this is a sorrowful time in a side, but it's also a glorious time in another side, because we are about to reach the end of the plan of God. And I'm saying it with all my heart, from the more we go forward, if you just stop a little bit and see in the scripture, you really realize that God has done great, glorious things, and many, many pass aside of it, and God has to grant us grace. We can read also in John chapter 15, on Psalm 80. We preach already about it in Psalm 80. Speaking about the bed vineyard, Psalm 80. The ravaged vine, in verse 9. Or from verse 8 in English. Psalm 80, from verse 8. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the Eden and planted it. We are the spiritual Israel. We are this vine, and the branches that bears fruits, the Lord cut them in order for them to bear more fruits. He brought them out of Egypt. Then what they have done? They wanted a king. May God help us and grant us grace. For this reason, the first Pentecost, the heart of the Father was brought to the children, to the Son, and in this last Pentecost, the heart of the children is to be back to the fathers. In this Pentecost, God is to achieve or accomplish all His plan in the Church of Jesus Christ, and he's not going to be a man to lead or to rule, but a body animated by the Holy Spirit under the leadership of Jesus Christ. I believe that it won't be a pope or people with a Nicolaitan spirit to lead. We have also Matthew about the parable that the Lord brought a vineyard. Then he led it to his servant. Truly God has granted us grace. I'm coming all the way back here because God granted us grace. We see this thing and we see it perfectly. And today is manifest before us. It's clearly before us manifest. God has to If he wants to take something from us, we have to give it to him, what belongs to him. And we have to take what is of God. Many came out of Egypt, many came out of confusion, about to reach the end of the plan of God. And I'm saying it with all my heart, from the more we go forward, if you just stop a little bit and see in the scripture, you really realize that God has done great, glorious things, and many, many pass aside of it, and God has to grant us grace. We can read also in John chapter 15 or Psalm 80. We preach already about it in Psalm 80, speaking about the bad vineyard. Psalm 80. The ravaged vine. In verse 9. Or from verse 8 in English. Psalm 80, verse 8. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the Eden and planted it. We are the spiritual Israel. We are this vine. And the branches that bears fruits, the Lord cut them in order for them to bear more fruits. He brought them out of Egypt. Then what they have done? They wanted a king. May God help us and grant us grace. For this reason, the first Pentecost, the heart of the Father was brought to the children, to the Son, and in this last Pentecost, the heart of the children is to be back to the fathers. In this Pentecost, God is to achieve or accomplish all His plan in the Church of Jesus Christ, and He's not going to be a man to lead or to rule, but a body animated by the Holy Spirit under the leadership of Jesus Christ. I believe that it won't be a pope or people with a Nicolaitan spirit to lead. We have also Matthew about the parable that the Lord brought a vineyard, then He led it to His servant. Truly God has granted us grace. I'm coming all the way back here because God granted us grace. We see this thing and we see it perfectly, and today is manifest before us. It's clearly before us manifest. God has to If he wants to take something from us, we have to give it to Him, what belongs to Him. And we have to take what is of God. Many came out of Egypt, many came out of confusion, but truly their hearts, truly the heart must be changed. The Nicolaitan spirit must be removed, and this spirit of that push people to have a king or to have someone to lead you, not realizing that God is in our midst and He wants to lead us. It's written also in let us read in 1 Timothy chapter 2. This word in the beginning of the message, when the word of God was brought for the unity or union, also for the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, because the only mediator between God and man, 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, 1 Timothy verse chapter 2. The perfect will of God is to He want all men to be saved, because there is just one God, and one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator, God and man, the man Christ just, whom as the Son has life, whose doesn't have a son doesn't have life. There is no other mediator. You cannot go to the Father unless through the Son. You cannot bring your offerings or offers if it's not by means of Jesus Christ, because he's the mediator, he's the one who won the battle, he won the war, he won the death, and he's the only one that can give me access to the eternal inheritance. If you have the Son, if I have the Son, I have also the Father. It's true. Amen. In John 14 says that. John 14. He had known me, he should have known my Father. The problem of war in the midst of the church is the Nicolaitan spirit who is making war in the midst of the church, because this spirit want to lead, he want to rule, and he want to take over the place of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the church. For this reason, there are battle between brothers. The people of God, through one spirit, they are baptized in one body, and this spirit has to lead up, has to be upon or and lead each of the part of the body. Each one must be led by this spirit, the spirit of God, because this spirit you enter in directly with this spirit, and then each one has to present offerings, service, adoration to God. Each one must participate, take part of the service of God. But men, they decide to take over, to take control, and at the end they become vicars, and with their title they forsook the word of God, and they put the word of God aside. Then they teach their own thoughts, and they brought men to obey them. And after a small time, the church was not resembling anymore to the Pentecostal church. That's why when Elijah of our time came, and I experienced that in Sicily, in order to preach in a Pentecostal church, you have to have a member card, or you have to have like a certificate that you've been in the pastoral school. If you could just it was needed to preach just the baptism, that the baptism is not in the name of Father, Son, and Spirit, using biblical passages, first time, second time, then they will catch you. They will kick you out. Then you see. The word, then it became a creed. True is the Antichrist was ruling the church, and it was not the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the verse continue reading. May God grant us grace to come out of that. And we believe that God granted us grace to see things in a different way. Since your 70 or 80, many years passed. Now we continue reading. Look at it today. If you read Acts chapter 2 verse 4 the way some do, you could read it this way. Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a priest with a wafer and say, stick out your tongue. And he laid the wafer upon it, and he himself drank some wine and said, you have now received the Holy Ghost. Incredible. That is exactly what Nicolaitanism has come to. They say, never mind what God's word say, you can understand it. We have to interpret it for you. Furthermore, the Bible is not finished. It has to change with the time, and will tell you what we... It will tell you what the changes are. Then people will say we have to update the word of God. We are repeating again here. Never mind what God's word said. You can't understand. We have to interpret it for you. Furthermore, the Bible is not finished. It has to change with the times. And we will tell you what the changes are. How contrary that is to the word of God. That states, let God be true, but every man a liar. Whenever there is a conflict with the truth, heaven and earth will pass away. But not one word of God will fail. So the people are led by the people who presume to be what they are not. They say they are vicars of Christ, but they are the Antichrist. It is written in Revelation chapter 4, verse 2. In chapter 2, when it's talking about church. Revelation chapter 2. You did not trust those who call themselves apostles, but they are not. So in Ephesus church. Then we continue reading. We continue here. It is the story of water baptism. Here it is another sad story. In Jesus' day and after Pentecost, they were immersed in water. No one can deny that. Educated men say that all they did was pour water on them because it was easy to find little hole of water in many places. And when they pour water on them, they do it in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, as if those titles were real names, and as if there were three gods instead of just one. But stay in the organization and try to preach the truth of immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be put out. You could not be led of God and stay in there. It's impossible. In the beginning, also in the preaching of Brother Branham, I do not remember which one, you might know. You are witnesses to bring light where you are. That is true. But at the end, if you bring truth, you cannot stay where you are. Maybe you can stay there for a week. Brother is talking about denomination. You can stay till when they will tell you, my friend, what you're saying, we do not believe in that. And that was taken in the wrong way. You cannot be light if there are still things of the church where you belong is still in your heart. But if you have true light, you stay there just for a little bit, then you will go. You will go away. You see how many interpretations were given falsely instead of putting things at their place according to the thoughts of God. But people gave their interpretation, and many saw they were polluted instead of following the light. And here also we have to clarify it. Let's continue to read. Now Paul was a prophet taught by the Holy Ghost. If Paul baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and said anyone that did different from his preaching was a curse. This is time to wake up and see that the church is no longer controlled by the Holy Ghost. The church is no longer controlled by the Holy Ghost, but it's controlled by the Nicolaitans. Acts 20:27-30. Here he speaks about the elders after the depart of Paul. He said like there be the Antichrist to come, and they will try to make war in the midst of church. Also what we experienced. For I have, Acts 20:27-30, for I have none shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take ye therefore unto yourselves and to all the flocks over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God which had purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. So what is today in a message with this spirit? This Nicolaitan spirit. What about it today? To see a little bit of what is taking place in the message. May God grant grace and he help us to realize it and to be under the authority of the word of God, not depending of man. With the word of God, we cannot play. Here is about eternal life. It's about the anointment of God. If the anointment of God goes as it happened with Saul, you know after that what took place. Evil spirit, they were coming upon him. And they were disturbing him. And then David is to come and to calm him. There God sent him a spirit of to depart from his from the truth. Yeah, we continue reading. Paul saw it coming, but he warned them about this subtle priesthood that would come and take over with his false doctrines. He knew they would implement a way of worship that excluded the people from any part in a Holy Spirit ministry. You see, he knew that they would establish a kind of worship excluding people from any part. A ministry is not of a man, but is the ministry of Jesus Christ, because he is the anointed of God. He is the one who distributes his gift, his goods. It's written, he ascended and he distributed. He is the one. He has written, he knew they would implement a way of worship that excluded the people from any part. Also today, those who call themselves, now we continue reading, and even right today, among those who claim to be free and full of spirit, there is no too much freedom in the laity. And the best we can see is a few preachers with inspired preaching, while the flock just sit. You understand here what Brother Frank wants to say? We continue reading. This is a far cry from Paul, who said that when all came together, all had the leading of the Spirit, and all participated in a spiritual worship. And today we can say there are few people. Are we finished to read? Then, and the church corporate has never learned this lesson from the scripture nor from history. You see, every church never learns this lesson. Every time God gives a visitation of the Holy Spirit and people get free, after a while, they bind themselves right back to the very things they came out of. You see? What does it mean here when he said, there's just one inspired, one preacher is preaching and the other are just sit. God has granted us grace to have a model, and we can confirm it, as it was in Lausanne, also in Krefeld, even in this small church. This model, as described in 1 Corinthians 14, someone can stand and say something, another one can, all are participating, not just one who is inspired and other are sit there and calm. You understand the meaning? I don't see you, but it's important. It's really important. But because there is just one model, and it's the biblical model, it's the biblical way in the Word of God. It's not a model where there's just one chief, himself as the inspiration, and other people, they are just seated with their mouth closed, the pop with others. This is false. It's wrong. God has to grant us grace, and he granted us grace to have the right model. May God bless us. And I believe that God is leading in this way. In 1 Corinthians 14, 26, in 1 Corinthians, also in 1 Corinthians, like you can read all the chapter about gift, how they are used, the ministry, the apostle and all. And this model must be there. Today people did not learn yet the lesson. Be careful. I'm saying that not to lift up a man, but this must be in all the local churches, in every group where the movement of the Holy Spirit is there, where one and other are agreeing, they are together. And I'm saying that for the glory of God, we can see that there's unity here. On Sunday, we have seen it. We did not concern ourselves, or we did not talk to ourselves, but we can see that the way God led all things together. And it seems like everything is in harmony. It's like as it seems like when you play music, everything is at its place. What is written here? The preacher, they preach inspired while the flock just sit. This is a far cry from Paul, who said that when all came together, all had the leading of the Spirit. And we continue reading. Every time God gives a visitation of the Holy Spirit and people get free, after a while, they bind themselves right back to the very thing they came out of. May God bless us and grant us grace to realize it. He's just about to give a small to pay attention or to give your ear to this Spirit, then it's finished. This Spirit destroy everything. Instead of continuing in the same way, the spirit of the denomination and the spirit of Antichrist destroys all things. 1 Corinthians 14. Where is it really manifested? When Luther, here we continue reading, when Luther came out of the Catholicism, the people stayed free for a while, but when he died, the people simply organized what they thought he believed and set up their own creeds and ideas and repudiated anyone who said opposite to what they said. Do you see? They went right back to Catholicism. For this reason, Brother Frank, also Brother Branham, they insist or they press on upon this they put an accent in this upon this spirit of Nicolaitans. So for this reason, the Bible says, if now when the house is empty and it been filled up with other things, so the spirit were there before, they cannot enter anymore. And what has to take place in the church, or is taking place in the church? If not, would have always the same Catholic church, Catholic spirit. And today, we see many Lutheran, they are ready to go back in the Catholic Church. We can read in Revelation 13. Protestant, they return already with Catholic. Already in here 70. I was in Swiss. There was a Lutheran pastor, and he was having worship in a Catholic church, and also Catholic church, the priest from Catholic church used to have a meeting or mass in the Lutheran church, so they were exchanging, and it was the beginning. And today they return right back there. And this schism that took place, this wound that was done to the beast, now is healed, as Brother Branham said it. And we all, you all know it. In Revelation chapter 12, Revelation here is about unbelief. It's another subject. Since the book of Genesis, it has been manifested. It's from where the Nicolaitan spirit came out. May God bless our heart and give us strength to take what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I believe that God grants us grace to be in the truth and to walk in the truth. And we want to stay and we want to dwell in this truth. As we said on Sunday, we want to stay under this anointment. And it's there. Then we'll see how God will use us. We use people, brothers and sisters. May God bless us and give us strength. Hallelujah. And this evening, tonight, we decided to finish earlier. For people to go and rest. But those who are retired, they don't have problem. May God help us. May He grant us strength and give. And may this word stay in us. Amen.